welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. That's good. It felt like we went somewhere in worship this morning, really special, really amazing. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's just, you know, it's stuff you know, theologically, stuff you'd get right on a test. But you know, when you just get in the Spirit, worship God in spirit and in truth, you just see stuff in your heart and just the revelation of how amazing, majestic, powerful, awesome our God is. And to just worship Him together with you guys is just awesome. Jesus said, whenever you on purpose come together in my name, He said, I'm there in the midst of you. We know He lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, but there's a special manifestation of His presence in the midst of us when we on purpose come together in His name. And there's such a powerful presence, you know, that we just sense in worship this morning, and we're just trusting that same presence of the Word of God as we're still together in His name. We're going to experience as we just get into the Word of God together as well. Well, we're going to go ahead and start with a passage this morning, Isaiah 26:3. It's very simple truth. It says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. This has been one of my favorite little passages of scriptures that I've kind of clung to and have gone back to throughout the years. Such a simple, powerful, profound truth. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. It sounds so simple and so basic, and what a powerful truth. You know, it's one of these, this is a scripture I would kind of, in my heart, my mind, as I look at this, I kind of go, ah. It's like, to kind of capture a phrase, it's like one of those sweet spot scriptures. I can kind of go back to and say, yeah, okay. It kind of helps me get reoriented, the sweet spot scripture. And I think of the sweet spot, I think of scriptural sweet spots. I also think there have been times in life, even, where it's been amazing how you get those times where just things seem to line up, you know, where you've got that moment in time where it's like, wow, this is amazing, Lord, and I'm close to Jesus, my relationships are going well, you know, I've been catching some financial breaks here, my kids are doing well, job is, you know, enjoyable, no real big clouds of depression or fear or anything like that, you know, beautiful day, blue skies, birds singing. It's like, wow, you know, I love it when that happens. You'd like to hit a pause button on life and just say, let's just keep everything like this, you know, it's like I got all the balls in the air at once, and you think, you know, I just love, you know, if we could just, Lord, keep it like this, you know, you have those spots, or even for 10 minutes would be great. You know, just enough for my inner planner self to spike the football a few times for achieving this and getting this. But you realize that in God, man, there is a place of perfect peace. And even though in the natural there are great times when it seems like everything lines up and we get those moments where everything's going good and you love it. It's like, yeah, Lord, let somebody call me up right now and ask me how I'm doing, all right? Awesome, thanks for asking. But as you're going on and you realize that, you know, invariably, you're not going to always have all the balls in the air all the time, everything just going perfect and great. You find out that there is a place in God that's very real, a place of perfect peace. And you know it's not a place where everything is going right all the time. And yet, it's a place of perfect peace. In other words, it's a place in God. It's a place that you're in God, and in that place, there's perfect peace. I can't always keep all the balls in the air, but I can always get to that place. that sweet spot. You know, even in the natural world we live in, we've got concepts that we try to equate to something like this. You might hear, you know, nirvana, you know, having the nirvana or the ultimate experience of a, you know, like a Sri Lanka or, you know, some kind of a concept of this supernatural place, utopia, where everything is just right and good and glowing, and this thing we're trying to wrap our emotional being around, this kind of perfection place. And, you know, I noticed in my life that whether it's conscious or unconscious, I kind of put an expectation on myself of having this place that I should be in, especially as a Christian. And a lot of times, I will take inventory, again, whether conscious or unconscious. I'm not always consciously aware, but I know how I feel at times. I'm taking inventory of the balls that are in the air and the ones that are on the ground, and I'm kind of developing a composite score, and that's how well I give myself permission to feel. You know, again, I'm not always consciously, I've had to have the Holy Spirit just wake me up and say, hey, Ed, hey, you're a Christian, you know? There's a place here. But it is just our natural tendency of our human self to do that. And so this morning, I just want to minister along the lines of what I'm simply calling the sweet spot, okay? The sweet spot. And it's a spot you know when you're in the sweet spot. You don't have to have anybody ask you, are you in the sweet spot? You know when you're in the sweet spot. There's a peace in the sweet spot. There's a calmness. There's a knowing. There's a joy. There's something when you're in the sweet spot. And that's the thing that, you know, we get from that Isaiah passage is, man, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, this is just a little commentary from Isaiah 26:3 before we delve in. It says, and this is from the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, it says, perfect peace is expressed in Hebrew by shalom, shalom, a Hebrew method of putting great emphasis on a word. Just repeat the word, okay? So you will keep him in perfect peace, shalom, shalom. You will keep him in everything the word shalom implies. Health, happiness, well-being, peace. The word translated mind is not the usual Hebrew word, but rather is a word meaning creative imagination. Isaiah's thought is that he whose creative imagination, the seat of plans and ideas, is firmly founded on the eternal Lord, will enjoy shalom in all its implications. Man, kind of reread that. You will keep him, you know, you will keep him in health, happiness, well-being, and peace, whose creative imagination is stayed on you because he trusts in you, the God with whom all things are possible. It gives you a lot of latitude for creative imagination as you're setting your mind on him. Man, it's the scripture. Again, this isn't something I'm thinking up or the way I want it to be. This is the word of God, whose creative imagination is stayed on you. Think about that, being creative in your imagination as it relates to keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. You're going to go against the grain if you're going to do that, I'll tell you what. I mean, you could have a creative imagination as it relates to the enemy, in terms of fear and everything that could go wrong and, you know, be patted on the back for responsible forward thinking. But if you begin to have a creative imagination of deliverance and change and health and wholeness, and you might get whacked out on religion, you know, as far as the way you're perceived sometimes. But the scripture says you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. There's a going against the grain is what I'm saying here. If you want this place, this sweet spot, you're going to be going against the grain of your natural human tendency and ways of thinking. But there is a sweet spot in God. And we're going to look at some things. We're going to look at some creative imaginations as it relates to the Word of God. Now, creative imagination doesn't give you legal license to flesh out and get weird or whacked out on, you know, whatever your natural mind would think. But I'll tell you what, we serve a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in you. So, at the same time, you've got to be able to go there and allow things, allow hope. Give yourself permission to think out of the box in some ways. out of the box, but not out of the word box, but out of the box of your natural thinking. And you're going to be challenged. It's an upward call. And that's what we want to do this morning. We want to look at the sweet spot. And what is that sweet spot? How do we get in that sweet spot and stay in that sweet spot? Here's a big, big part of the sweet spot. There has got to be a continual celebration of grace in your life. I mean, just constant celebration of grace. Romans 5 says this, our faith, this is the passion, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that has given us a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. Man, this is such a powerful truth of living in a continuous celebration of grace. And this is one of the things, again, kind of like I was saying before, you can kind of, whether consciously or unconsciously, kind of take natural inventory of the balls in the air, the balls on the ground, come up with a score and give yourself permission to be happy to that level. But this is what breaks all those rules. This is what makes us different from the world. We're born again. You have the grace of God. You are saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. The ability to stop at any moment of time and realize that, wow, I got from where I was to where he is because of what Jesus did for me. And that's it. Hebrews puts it this way. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, there has to be, and we're talking about the sweet spot, creative imaginations, to be able to, in our heart, in our mind, be able to stop at any time and just celebrate the fact, man, I'm saved. I'm saved by grace through faith. I've got access by the blood of Jesus. You realize you were not reconciled to God by your emotions. In other words, I'm not reconciled to God because I feel it or don't feel it. God's love for me isn't reconciled emotionally. There's no emotional reconciliation. It's all blood, which takes my emotions out of the equation. Praise God. And what does a celebration of grace do? Because like I said, you kind of take the inventory and you kind of get connected to a feeling based on your score. Celebrating grace makes the feelings go bye-bye because you realize that regardless, feelings got to bow the knee to the blood of Jesus. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't change regardless of my score. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus. Yeah, Pastor, but I got like these three addictions. You are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are clean. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. Yeah, but we're all overcoming. Yeah, but we're all getting victory. Yeah, the Apostle Paul himself said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. One thing I'm doing, I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Praise God. There's a glory in just the celebration of grace. It kind of gets you reorientated to think, man, this is why I can do what I can do. I look in the natural mirror, I see a natural reflection of a natural person. I look into the mirror of God's word or the Bible, whatever you want to say, and when you look into the reflection of the mirror of God's word, you're going to see a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're going to see the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You're going to see a gift of righteousness on the inside of you, and that doesn't change. And I get it. There's a tug of war constantly going on. You know, between life and maybe the things you've experienced in life and the grace of God and what he's done for you. And you're kind of in that inner tug of war that you're going on. But here's the bottom line is this. No matter what anybody has done to you, no matter what you've done to yourself, it doesn't change what God did in you when you got born again. You can always stop and go, wow, I'm celebrating. You know that old commercial, wow, I could have had a V8. No, it's like those moments. It's like, wow, I'm saved by grace through faith. Yeah, but I'm in this part of overcoming this. We're talking about the sweet spot, some creative imaginations. You're saved by grace through faith. We just can't lose sight of that big picture. It's huge. I mean, This is something that'll never get old. Revelation says, and they sang it. This is us in the future. And they sang a new song saying, you're worthy to take the scroll. We were kind of singing about it this morning too. To open its seals, for you were slain. You've redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. You've made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. This thing will never get old. We're singing this one throughout eternity. We're going, wow, here I am, and I know why I'm here. Because you redeemed us to God by your blood. That's why I'm here, by the blood. Praise God. Shake off the emotion stuff because I've got blood. The blood, the lamb's robe, the lamb's robe who was dipped in blood. There is a purchase. There's something of substance that bought me. I did a message a few months ago about, you know, the two chairs here and how you can be in the chair of kind of your works and your study and your you know, diligence. But there's also this chair that kind of represents the throne of grace. And a lot of times we can find that there's such a struggle to get from our diligent chair to that precious throne of grace. And we got to realize, I don't have to work my way to that chair. The blood bought my way to that chair. I can just walk over there. In my office, I've got two chairs. I got an office chair and I got my devotional chair. And I've, you know, there's been times I'm in my office chair and the Lord said, Ed, you know you need to be in that chair right now. And I've had to go, yeah, I know I need to. I want to just get rid of dot I's, cross T's, and then. But there are times he goes, no, I want to go to the sweet spot now. I'm going to go there now. I can go there. Why can I go there? Because I have boldness by the blood of Jesus. Man, there's just intentional celebrations of grace that I am saved. Praise God. And to not lose sight of that big picture. You know, if somebody gifted you, you know, a $10 million mansion, and you were to look at that thing in all of its awe and splendor and glory, and you notice that on the brick fence around your gardens, there was one brick that was out of place. And you could just fixate on that brick. Oh my goodness, there's a brick there that's out of place. That's right. And that rock, and there should be more of a clump of rocks over there that offsets this clump of rocks. And you could look at a few things here and there. And you could just get, and emotionally work yourself up and you need to just stop and look up at the splendor and glory of what you just inherited. We're all working through stuff, all right? But what is a celebration of grace? That's where I put my stuff on the side, my overcoming stuff, all my, and I just say, thank you, Jesus. You saved me. You redeemed me by your blood. I'm going to spend eternity with you. I'm going to be singing that song throughout all eternity. That's kind of what communion is. It's an intentional celebration of what Jesus Christ did through you, through his broken body and his shed blood. We're talking about the sweet spot. It's when we have the intentional celebrations right in the middle of your stuff. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Just realizing there is never a time. Because you know what? Use your creative imagination on this. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Praise God. God has prepared a place for us. Man, the end of our story, the end, the omega side of this whole Revelation epic story is glory. It said the sufferings of this present time aren't even worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed to you, in you, and conferred upon you. Well, wow, praise God. I can stop and celebrate that right now. Wow, I'm redeemed. I'm saved by grace through faith. I'm a new creation right now. The Holy Spirit lives in me right now. Right now. Right now, what am I doing? I'm celebrating grace. And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about these have got to be some private celebrations of grace. And I'm telling you what, even if you want to make arrangements for it privately, say at 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to have a devotion time, but it's not just going to be any old devotion time. I'm going to have a celebration of grace tonight at 8. I'm going to on purpose worship you, Jesus, and thank you for redeeming me by your blood. I'm going to on purpose see myself, that new creation. I'm going to on purpose see myself. Make an appointment if you have to. You know what I'm saying? Whatever it takes, all right? But have intentional celebrations of grace, because this is the truth. Like Jody said, this is who we really are. You get in that place where this is you, all right? Yeah, we've got the veil of the flesh, the world and the devil and stuff that we got to work through, but this is the real us. Praise God. What is the secret? What is that sweet spot? Man, it's when you intentionally go there in the face of all the devil's accusations, in the face of all the junk you still got to overcome and work out. You're saved by grace through faith. Wow. You are. That's an amazing, wonderful, awesome thought. That's why, you know, in Revelations, that one church is exhorted, go back to your first love. Go back to a fresh appreciation a fresh appreciation of your own salvation, a fresh appreciation of what it means to be forgiven. This can really be a blessing too if you're having a hard time with bitterness and forgiving people. Like the parable of the unforgiving servant, what he needed to do is he needed to go back to his master and remember the $1 million debt that he'd been forgiven. He somehow lost sight of that in his bitter state of strangling his brother for the 20 bucks. And that's what an intentional celebration of grace does. It causes us to go back. Wow, I was forgiven the $1 million debt. I'm on purpose remembering that. I'm getting stirred up on that. Yeah, I got stuff. I got a lot of balls in motion, some in the air, some on the ground. But regardless of what's in the air, what's on the ground, this is true. I'm saved by grace through faith. And it's always right and it's always good to have that awe that Paul talks about here in Romans. Man, our faith guarantees us a permanent access into this marvelous kindness. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. So praise God, a celebration of grace. We're not stopping, but we're going on. But I already know that. Yeah, I know. But that's the revelation that gets deeper and deeper on the inside of you that really gets you and stirs up that sweet spot. Because there's nothing about the score that can change that. That's true. That's just eternally true. Not only that, but as you're endeavoring to get in the sweet spot, stay in the sweet spot, there's simply what I'm calling a pursuit of wisdom. These are some intentional things, you know, that you're doing. I'm having an intentional celebration. I'm also being very intentional about just pursuing wisdom. Pursuing wisdom. This one is huge. The Proverbs writer says, happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Now listen to this. See if you can just wrap your mind around the blessing of wisdom. Her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. You know, as I look at this, there's a couple things as it relates to pursuing wisdom, and the thing that'll help keep you in that sweet spot, that secret place. Because the fact of the matter is you're always pursuing something. Your heart's going after something. There's something on your mind all the time. And the great two forces, and Jesus put it this way, he said, those who seek to save their life will lose it. Those who will lose their life for my sake will find it. In other words, there's two kinds of seeking. There's a self-seeking and there's a God-seeking. And the paradox is that as you seek God, you find yourself. It's even like worship this morning. You know, you set aside some time this morning. You could have been doing other things. You set aside time to come here to worship, to put aside time you could have been using on yourself for other things and just really focus on God, go in God. And you not only find God, but you find yourself, your real self. You know, there's an amazing paradox. The world doesn't understand this paradox. You know, the concept of denying self is just, you know, it's a psychological thing where you're sticking your head in the ground. And, well, yeah, that would be if that's all there was to the whole equation, just denying self, but we're not. You're seeking God. You're pursuing him. You're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then those things are added to you. I'm seeking wisdom, and as I seek wisdom, well, gee, you know, in her left hand are riches and honor. In her right hand, you know, are length of days. I don't have to seek length of days. I don't have to seek riches and honor. I'm not seeking those things. I'm seeking him, and her proceeds just include that. Seeking first the kingdom of God, and those things are added. And so we're talking about a pursuit of wisdom as it relates to the sweet spot. There's a healthy thing that it keeps your heart focused toward God. I'm focusing on God, because if I don't go God, I'm going self. Sorry, that's the two channels, ultimately. All the channels link back to your God channel or your self channel. And so you're ultimately going to find yourself as you're seeking God, or you're going to lose yourself as you're seeking self. Again, kind of an interesting paradox, but that's the spiritual truth that we get from Jesus. That's why in the pursuit of wisdom, you're doing this by faith. And this is where, when it comes to, found a little brick in my mansion that I had to get taken care of there. All right. I'm one of those, sorry. But I'm just saying, all right. You got to keep your focus right. That's why the Lord speaks that kind of stuff to me. All right. But as you're going through, not only does the pursuit of wisdom help keep you off the self channel and keep you going toward the God channel, but there's something else that's very profound, especially as it relates to staying in the sweet spot. And I guess the thing that I would liken it to would be like we have fire drills or tornado drills or something like that. And we kind of remember those, the drill, as kids going through school. You'd have that alarm go off, and you'd have to kind of do your process. Okay, you're in this classroom, we see our picture, and so we all get up, and we go down this hallway, we take a right, and then we go out that exit door, and then we stand over here. We kind of do that. And what are they called? They're called drills. And they're drills for a reason. Because, you know, if that moment did come where there was the fire, you're not thinking straight. You need a plan. Not only do you need a plan, you need to practice that plan. So when you're shaken, you're not having to think. You're just doing the plan. All right? And one of the powerful things about, because you're going to get in that sweet spot, and there's going to be things that shake your sweet spot. All kinds of stuff. We know Jesus said in this world, your sweet spot will be shaken. But take heart, I've overcome the world. But here's the deal. Even when my sweet spot gets shaken, when I'm a guy who's pursuing wisdom, there's something different about it. I've got a plan already in place. In other words, I'm not just in the sweet spot wondering how long this is going to last. That's typically most of my sweet spot experiences through the years. Well, like I said, if we just could have a pause button on the sweet spot, that would be awesome. But when you're in the sweet spot with a plan, and it's not like I'm expecting bad things to happen, but I'm just saying, I'm not worried about that alarm going off. Because when the alarm goes off, the truth is still the truth. I'm still a new creation. I'm still a born-again child of God. All that stuff stays the same. But when I'm pursuing wisdom in the sweet spot, I've got a plan of attack. And this is the heart of a person who's got a spiritual fire drill going on them. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those who find them. They're health to all their flesh. Keep your heart without all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. In other words, there's this diligence, all right? There's a diligence that when that alarm goes off and all of a sudden I'm feeling horrible, I'm seeing something, I'm hearing something, there's a report. Man, my heart and my mind is immediately, and this is what I like to say is good for us to have. Last Wednesday we did, on our Wednesday night Bible study, we did a little exercise, just what we call our God narrative. What is a God narrative? A God narrative is something between you and God. And what it is, it's those scriptures, those couple scriptures that just speak to your heart. You know, you might see Isaiah 26:3 and think, wow, that's my scripture. That's mine. You guys can share it. I'll let you share it with me. But that's mine. There's a connection you get with certain scriptures. It's like, that's mine. That's the Holy Spirit showing you. And so what happens is you can build in you a God narrative. And again, this isn't coming from the pastor telling you got to think this. It's you and the Holy Spirit saying, what are those scriptures that really bless you? Maybe come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. You'll find rest for your soul. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Praise God. There are some narratives, or let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. I'll tell you, when you get shaken sometimes, that's the one you need to speak, all right? God will build a narrative spiritually, and it's like a spiritual fire drill. I don't need to feel it. In the same way, I don't need to feel it as far as getting to the throne of grace. I wasn't reconciled emotionally by my emotions. I was reconciled by blood. Emotions got to take a back seat, and my emotions can catch up later, but for now, I'm rejoicing in the blood. Praise God. Same thing as it goes on with this, staying in that sweet spot too. You're going to have things that rattle you emotionally, but you got this narrative. You got this spiritual fire drill that you follow after. And you go, I'm going here. And so you'll see a certain diligence in here, and it's like, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They're life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. And you can be going through that fire drill. And the way to go through a fire drill, you'll notice you practice the drill when there's no fire. And so that's another thing you can be intentional about. Practice your fire drill when there's no fire. I mean, there's not even somebody you're needing to actively forgive, and you're saying, let no corrupt word proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good to the use of edification. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil. You begin to get that narrative, whatever your scriptures are. And the Holy Spirit will build them. It's like a little building project. The Holy Spirit says, you got to add that one to your narrative. Ooh, that's good. Add that one to your narrative. All right? And so you're kind of building this thing that you and the Holy Ghost are building. And it's really a beautiful thing because it's just between you and him ultimately. But you're seeing that this is my narrative. This is my drill. And as you're doing it, something will happen to you. Now, I'm just going to tell off on me. Probably, you know, been doing this for probably 35-ish years or so. But as I look back and my doing this stuff, I've known this, and I get to that sweet spot, I get to that secret place, and I know that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. As I'm trying to get shaken out of my sweet spot by fear, all right? But I'm saying, no, he hasn't. And there's something that happens. Let me say this. I'm not talking even about when the attack comes. I'm talking about before there's an attack. I'm just talking about building yourself up. We as human beings, this is one of the greatest places that you are going to exercise faith when there's no battle, when there's no fight, there's nothing going on, but you're just by faith investing in your own spirit. You're by faith doing that fire drill. It's one of the greatest exploits of faith you can do, just building yourself up on your most holy faith, just getting built up in the spirit. Because I've had those, and when I've looked at those spots that I've been in, I have been in that sweet spot, and I've been scared out by roaring lions, okay? The devil goes about as a roaring lion, roaring me out with fear. You know, you can be seduced out with works or lusts of the flesh. You can be, drawn out with just distractions, the weights and the sins that so easily beset. I'm bored. I want to do something exciting and fun. You got one of these bodies. And it's going to say, okay, that was good. Ed, great job. Wow, you're really spiritual. You deserve a break today. In fact, I don't think you've ever been this far in God before. You deserve a break today. I'm just telling you about me and my comings and goings from the sweet spot. But I'll tell you what, the more you get in that sweet spot, the stronger your resolve gets. This is boring. I don't want to do this. And I'm going to praise God. Pay attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Keep them before your eyes. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. As you begin to grow, there's a resolve. And you can't get roared out of there. You can't get seduced out of there. You're staying in there. It's boring. And it feels like in your mind saying, I already know this. I can quote it 15 times. It's not about knowing it. It's not about being able to memorize it. It's not about quoting it. It's about feeding your spirit. And something's happening in your spirit as that word is getting in there. You're beginning to believe. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when the storm comes, something doesn't rise up here. Something rises up from within here that you've been investing in. You built your house on the rock. And when the storm comes and the wind blows, you're standing, and you know it's not because I'm thinking right. There's something of bigger substance in you that you already invested in as you were diligent to do some things. And it's kind of like at spiritual fire drill. No, we don't get there overnight. We're growing, but that's the direction we're going. We're going in there to where I'm in the sweet spot. And while I'm in the sweet spot, I'm not just waiting for the next bad thing to happen. I'm in the sweet spot, building myself up in that place. Celebrating grace. And again, what is your narrative? What are those scriptures that trip your trigger spiritually? It's like, oh, that's a good one. Man, whatever that is, you just let those scriptures roll in your heart. What are you doing? You're pursuing wisdom. It means you're not pursuing self. Again, you get in that sweet spot, the enemy wants to reward you for being so spiritual. But you realize, it's kind of like we're worshiping, your life is in God. There's nothing, there's natural, no natural pleasure. There's nothing that's better than God. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And all of a sudden, you know, you're used to all the paradigms in church and theologies and different things like that, but you get in that sweet spot and you begin to go in place with God and you can't be shaken out, and you're going to stay in there and you're going to stay in there and you're going to stay in there with the Word of God. Things begin to change. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind because you're allowing your mind to get transformed in areas you hadn't before. And all of a sudden you're seeing things different. It's almost like you're rising up in a spiritual elevation. I don't mean this like in a haughty way, but the things that used to bug you and really eat your lunch, it's like you're looking at them, you're down, but there's a strength of spirit as you're looking down on them. That's a pursuing wisdom. It's a sweet spot. When you're there, the storms come, the winds blow, and your house is built on a rock because of a certain just pursuing wisdom. We're all in different places, but wherever you are, you can Proverbs 4:20 it and begin to pursue and go after wisdom. Psalm 1 guy, blesses the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, brings forth its fruit in a season. His leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does will prosper. But you'll see this guy, man, he's like a tree planted. There's a stability there. There's a strength there. And what is he doing? He's not trying to be strong. He's just delighting in the law of the Lord day and night. That's all he's doing. He's got a choice. Channel one is the, you know, channel one is the self channel. Channel two is the God channel. And self-channel offers some self-stuff that we're used to. Counsel of the ungodly, path of sinners, he's the scornful, that's all the stuff. But he says, no, I'm gonna pursue God. And what happens? You're just like a tree planted. Just whatever you do prospers. You're not even trying to do it just right. You're just loving God, serving God, and it just happens. Just this favor. Just amazing. It's like, I'll tell you, when you experience that, it makes you want to stay in that sweet spot. It makes you want your resolve to go deeper in pursuing wisdom. Finally, fellowship with God. This is just the basic final deal as far as your fellowshipping with God. This is the joy. This is really the garden. This is the whole purpose of having the sweet spot in the first place, is to restore what we lost in the garden, where I'm talking, I'm fellowshipping with God. And this is a great psalm that just captures this heart. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me. This is fellowship with God. I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Why is he going to do all that? Because he set his love on me. There's just a fellowship with God. There's just a sweet fellowship talking with the Lord. And a lot of times when we think of prayer, we think of something like this, Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. In other words, there's this fellowship. There's this talking to God. But I want to bring this out this morning. Not only is this fellowship with God a matter of you sharing your heart or bearing your heart, it is also a big part of the joy of the sweet spot. Creative imaginations with God is allowing yourself to let his voice come through to you by his Spirit. Fellowship with God, in other words, is not a one-way conversation. The greatest times, and I can tell you something about you as it relates to the greatest, most awesome times that you've had with God. They weren't just marked by having all the balls in the air. They were marked by not only you talking to God, but you hearing from God. There is no greater joy than hearing from God. I got a sense of his peace. I got a sense of his direction. There's fellowship. There's a back and forth. Not only am I intentional about grace and pursuing wisdom, but I am intentional about hearing the voice of God. I'm going to let that voice come through. This is faith. Here's something I would suggest. Get yourself a journal and just begin to write down in your heart those thoughts. See, Jesus said, my sheep would know my voice. He has a voice. He sent the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. He said he'll take the things of mine and he'll show them unto you. That's why he lives in you. You need not that any man teach you, that anointing teaches you all things. It is right, proper, scriptural imperative that we hear the voice of the Lord. It's great to get grounded in the Word, but it's important with fellowship, hearing what he has to say. Sometimes we can be like, oh, I'm afraid he's going to tell me something I'm to do. He's going to give me a test of obedience. I don't want to quite let that voice. I don't want to tell him how much I love him. And that's good. Tell him how much you love him. But I'll tell you what, we're talking about that sweet spot. There is nothing like being able to hear and remembering he knows your frame. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. We've got to remind ourselves, oh yeah, he's a safe place. He says, I am meek, I'm lowly in heart. You're going to find rest for your souls. In other words, this fellowship with God, I don't have to be afraid of what he's going to say. I can allow that voice to come through. Allow it to come through. It takes faith to allow it to come through. I'll tell you, if he says anything, the wisdom that's from above, it says pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, no partiality, no hypocrisy, sown in peace with them that make peace. That's a wisdom you can trust to open your heart to hear. It's fellowship. That's a sweet place. And there's nothing like, I mean, he can tell you, he's told me things about me, even that I've needed to change. He's given me correction. It's like, wow, that's cool, that's awesome. But the cool thing of it is you can see it. It's not like, it's like revelation. And that's different. That's your Lord, being Lord, even when it is corrective, in a way that's like, wow, that's the thanks I needed that. Whatever commercial that was, Aquavel, I don't know, using commercials this morning. V8, Aquavelva, all right, these are all deep spiritual things here. It's like a thanks, I needed that, but it's a good thing. It's like, oh man, it's like, some, you know, brother, someone saying, you need to forgive, and it's like, oh, just be quiet. You get in the presence of God, it's like, wow, that bitterness is holding you back from what I'm, it's keeping you down. Oh yeah, I do, that's right, praise God, I forgive in Jesus' name. Glory to God. But he'll correct you, you can just let the voice through. Let the voice through. Even if you just got to put it on paper at first or whatever it is that you do, begin to let that. It's fellowship. It's to it. That's the best thing in the world when you got that going. That's truly a sweet spot. Because when you got his voice going, you, it reminds you, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, I just heard his voice this morning. I know that. When you hear his voice and it's right on, it's like, wow, he really is with me. It gives you a boldness. It gives you a strength. The reality of his presence in your life. And so finally, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, what we were doing this morning, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we were doing, worshiping God. There's also a fellowship that's just a worship to God. And even in that worship to God that we experienced this morning, there was some powerful Holy Spirit impartations into your heart that's just between you and God. And that's the way it's supposed to be, but it's a two-way, it's a fellowship, even in our worship with God. So the sweet spot, there's some things that we're going to be intentional about. There is an intentional celebration of grace, all right? No matter where you are, no matter what your score is based on balls in the air, balls in the ground, your permission to rejoice is based on a blood that you are redeemed by. Your emotions do not follow a score. But your emotions bow the knee to the blood of Jesus Christ because you can bless the Lord at all times and his praise can continually be in your mouth. It's a reorientation. I'm going to celebrate. God loves me. Man, I would have given up on me trying to live this Christian life years ago, but he hasn't. He's staying with me. He loves me. He's for me. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? He is for me. He ever lives to make intercession for me. I believe it. Not only do I believe it, I celebrate it. Pursuit of wisdom. Man, I've got my spiritual drill plan. I'm pursuing God. I got my narrative that's between me and God. Those scriptures that speak to me and I'm hiding them in my heart. And as I'm hiding those words in my heart, I'm building on the rock and the foundation of God's word. Let the storms come. Let the winds blow. I'm built on something that is holding me up on the inside. The spiritual strength of God's word. The fellowship with God, that's that sweet spot. I'll tell you, the pursuit of wisdom, it's a sweet thing. It's a sweet thing when the storms are coming and you think, man, that took me out last week and now the same thing is happening and I'm just like sitting here and there's a joy. There's a strength of spirit. That's sweet. That's sweet because you realize, man, I can get strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Fellowship with God. You just realize, man, I'm Lord, here it is, me and you walking hand to hand together, going through this life together. Praise God with your grace, your mercy, and your peace. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the sweet spot that is in you. Praise God. You will keep him in perfect peace whose creative imaginations are stayed on you. Lord, we just imagine, we see the fact that we've been bought with a price by the precious, not gold, not corruptible things like gold and silver, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a blood that gives us access 24/7 access to the throne of grace, that we don't have to emotionally reconcile anything because the blood has already done the reconciliation. We come there by faith and we receive love. We receive grace. We celebrate what you've done for us. We thank you that we're children of God. We thank you, Lord, that we can pursue wisdom. Man, we get a plan. We get a battle plan that's between you and me and the Holy Ghost. Praise God as you lead and guide us into all truth. Those scriptures, those fire drill plans that we're getting in our heart and our mind, and we're staying there and letting the word do its work and to build us up and finding ourselves in you, Father God. We thank you for a fellowship too, Lord, that we can get back to the garden. We don't have to be afraid of what you're saying to us. We're going to let that voice through. You're a safe place. You're meek. You're lowly in heart. Help us to remember that whatever you tell us is what we need to hear. You're not only the author, but you're the finisher of our faith. And we look unto you and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to let that voice through. Show me what to do next. I trust you. I trust you where you're leading me. Paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We give you thanks, Father God, for your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, be encouraged. Praise God. Yes. Sure.
I just don't, it's a little live. I just wanted to share a testimony today because 32 years ago, my daughter Amanda Grace was born. And when she was 19 years old, she was into some drugs and alcohol and was living a life that was not real good. And anyway, we were concerned for her. But during that year, God was doing something in my heart. There was things that people would share and it would like prick my heart. And I knew that something hard was coming. And so anyway, about a month before she passed away, we found out that some friends of ours, their son had died, and Dave got in contact with this man, and he had died in a drunk driving accident. And anyway, I shared these things with Amanda, and I said, you know, Amanda, we can pray for you and everything, but when you make bad choices, that things can go wrong. And she sat and took that all in. And anyway, we had the most wonderful time because it was Dave's birthday in 2 days, and we gathered as a family at T. Ashwell's and had the most amazing night together. And when I walked into the restaurant, there she was, and she had like an aura around her. It was kind of like a green, yellow thing, and I kind of looked at her, and I was like, wow, what is that? And anyway, it was her night to shine, and all 10 of us gathered at this table out on the porch. And she told all the most amazing, funny stories. And she sat with her dad, who she had trouble with for, you know, months. And they just sat and ate next to one another. And she was the star of the show. And after we got done eating, she came up to me and she said, she grabbed my arm, my little hands in her hand, and she said, oh, Mama, this was just the best night. Thank you so much. And she started crying, and I was like, what is that? And anyway, we just hugged each other so tight and said goodbye. And the next day, I was talking to Dave, and I'm like, that was really amazing, that night together. And anyway, so what happened was the next morning, it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, and the police showed up at our door, and Dave answered the phone or the door, and then he came up and shared the news with me that Amanda had died in a car crash along with her friend. And anyway, you know, so then we're going through this whole thing with all the kids and trying to figure everything out, and all of a sudden there was like not enough air in the whole room to even breathe. And so I just ran outside and I ran to the edge of the field and I just said, oh God, I don't know what's going on here, but all I know is I'm going to trust you in all of this. And I know that you are going to take care of me and you're going to walk me through this thing and it's going to be good. And so anyway, we, walked through that week. We had a funeral to plan for, and the night that Amanda passed away, there was no rain. There was just all clouds. There was no sun, and over the back of our field was a rainbow. And God shows us his love in his creation when we're able to see it, you know. And so we planned this great funeral for her, and just a celebration of her life, and just we worship God. And during the day of her funeral, there was water spouts over the bay, from Shepherd of the Bay. And I was just like, wow, Lord, you're just amazing. And during the funeral, my friend, some people that came from Green Bay afterwards, she goes, look at all the rainbows I saw on the way up here. I took all these pictures. And that was Amanda's favorite song, Somewhere with a Rainbow. And then at the end of that week, on the Saturday, there was a double rainbow that was the most amazing thing ever. And people were running out of Al Johnson's going, what is this? What does this mean? What does it mean? And anyway, so that became my time then to work through my salvation with the Lord, to be healed of the pain that was caused. And during that time, it was like this dark cloud over me, and it was like I was trying to break through it, you know. It was just like so much pain. And but in that, there was so many people that came and just loved us, and the God ministered to me every day as I sought him out. And the most funny thing to me, I had 8 kids, so I know what birth is. And anyway, it was 9 months and the cloud was lifted off me. It was like I could just have joy and life and freedom in God. It was just so beautiful. And that's what I say. He not only wants us to survive, but he wants us to thrive every single day. And it says, in the presence of him, there is fullness of joy. And we can have that joy every single day, no matter what's going on around us. We can be stayed right here. And it is just exactly what Pastor Ed talked about today, trusting God to be all in all, to be our healer in everything.